Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair, broadcasting to you live on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world from the voiceofvashon.org. And I am taking over from Susan and the women whose program you may have heard just a little piece of before I climbed up into the captain's chair. Greetings to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. And I am once again in the Gene Bosch studio. And thanks to Captain Truman O'Brien for his good work in getting me on. First of all, the first broadcast that I did was from SeaTac. And the second one was from the airport at Kailua Kona. And thanks to him for his ingenuity in getting me on using Zoom, because there were some technical problems with making the telephone connection from the Sunrise Ridge studio, which is where we had to broadcast from for several weeks. And that was because of some problems with antennas. And the technical people connected with Voice of Vashon did just a wonderful and very seaman-like job in getting everything back together so that we could once again broadcast from the regular studio. I am back from my travels, 10 days away from the magical Isle of Vashon, and as time and connectivity allows, I'll be making some comments about some of the things that happened during my trip. In fact, I'm going to be making some of them right here on this broadcast. However, I've got to thank Truman for his good work in figuring out how we could do it. And on behalf of all of Captain Joe's people, a thank you and a well done to Captain O'Brien. The binnacle list is not any smaller, and in fact is grown by several people. There seem to be some hernia operations that either are coming or have happened, including one with somebody very close to me. And so the binnacle list remains, as always, of great concern to your captain up in the captain's chair. And it is because there are people who have left the binnacle list because they crossed the bar. We've had a number of those in the Coast Guard channel in particular. And it is necessary for all of us to remember that if we continue to collect chronological years in our own lives, that people who are close to us are going to be leaving the binnacle list that way, crossing the bar. And one of them has to do with in-laws. And I mention that in particular because my own brother-in-law is now solidly on the list. And I know that there have been a couple of other people, brothers-in-law, who have left us that way, who were great friends and followed the rules of being shipmates, people who considered the family or their ship and their mates before themselves. So from the captain's chair, a special set of condolences going out to all of my people, all of Captain Joe's people who have had losses like that just in the last 2 weeks. Since I was doing my broadcast away from the magical Isle of Vashon. One of the things that's happened in Hawaii on the island of Oahu is the toxic water, the leakage of fuel from fuel tanks, fuel storage tanks in Red Hill, which is just down below Tripler. For those of you Hawaii people, when you make your approach coming into Oahu, you see that big pink building up on the side of the hill. That's Tripler Army Hospital. And Tripler Army Hospital has been there for a long, long time, certainly as long as I've been going to Hawaii. And Hawaii was one of my first, in fact, it was my first duty station right out of the academy. I went to a ship that was home ported on Oahu at the Coast Guard base at Sand Island. I took Scott and Michelle, my neighbors from next door, I took them to the Coast Guard base at Sand Island, and we were there at dusk, and so we were there for Evening Colors. So we were there as I have to suspect that the bugle call for Evening Colors, Attention to Colors, is a recording and not a live bugler. I don't think we have any buglers left in the Coast Guard except at the academy where the Coast Guard band is also headquartered. I doubt that we have any live buglers left, but we were there when the recording, Attention to Colors, and then the color ceremony was held, and I have to report how pleased I was with the seaman-like way that the color ceremony was handled. It was not one of these slapdash things where the colors detail just kind of wanders out to the flagpole. They marched out there. They were at full attention. It was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. And all of the ships that were in port were following the movements of the color detail, and it brought a little twinge to the corners of my eyes, and I was delighted to have Scott and Michelle with me to witness this and to hear how it was done and to see how it was done. The Coast Guard base at Sand Island is absolutely immaculate. Not even one single piece of trash that I could see anywhere. I do report that all of the ships that were in port, none of them had rat guards rigged. Now, whether or not this is a high level of confidence that the waterfront is completely secure of rats, or it's because commanding officers feel that there's no possibility that rats will get aboard their ships. But there were several of the new fast response cutters in port and were tied up at the along the waterfront. And the Coast Guard cutter Kimball, one of the new, I think we're calling them national security cutters, tied up there, and none of them with rat guards. I do not have that same high level of confidence, and were it I would, if I were the captain of the fast response, any one of the cutters there, I think I would have had rat guards rigged, but I also would have checked it out with the base commanding officer, and I would have had my XO check it out, and I would also have had my chiefs checking it out with the chief of the boat for the base, or I think they call him the command enlisted advisor. To me, he's the chief of the boat, and I would have had him check it out and see whether or not rats have been sighted. If no rats have been sighted since the beginning of time or since the beginning of the Revenue Cutter Service in 1790, then I might possibly agree to not having rat guards rigged on the mooring lines. In any case, it was good to be in amongst my own people and amongst in my own command and in a place that I had used as my own home port when I first came out of the academy and was assigned there. We took the opportunity to find the little house that my first wife and my now daughter, now of many more years, lived, because in those days there was no Coast Guard housing. And so we lived on the economy, and also there was no extra housing allowance for living in Hawaii. So my pay scale was, as an ensign right out of the academy, was $212.30, and an $87 housing allowance, and a messing allowance of $47.88. So you total all that up, and that's how much I made a month as an ensign right out of the academy. I don't think we could do it on that these days, but in any case, that's what it was. And we managed, but it was pretty tight. So we found the little house, and it is in a section of Honolulu called Kaimuki, which is Mauka, or toward the mountains of the zoo, just off of Kapahulu Avenue, for those of you who are Honolulu people and know the geography of Honolulu. The way to get to it was exactly the same as I got to it, except now we have H1, H2, and H3, which so far as I know are the only interstates which are completely within one of the states. And the days when I lived there, you got back and forth east and west on Nimitz Highway, and you still get to the access road to Sand Island from the from Nimitz Highway. So it was all a return to the past. Michelle's dad had been stationed at Schofield Barracks, and so we went to Schofield Barracks, and then we took a run up to the North Shore. If I ever were to live in Hawaii, I would buy a house up on the North Shore. And it was good to be back. And I plan to go back again. But it validated in my own heart that the magical Isle of Vashon is the place to which I will always return. The Coast Guard rescue business has been busy while I was away. We rescued, in fact, two people from near Eugene, Oregon, which is the home of the University of Oregon, whose mascot is a duck. I have my son, who is a doctor of education, is a graduate from the University of Oregon and did his doctoral work there. And my friend and colleague in Sweden, Dr. Reinhard, did his undergraduate work at Eugene. So he also is a duck. These two people apparently got lost. They got, I do not have all of the details of the rescue, but they were found because they wrote an SOS in the snow. History does not record how they did that, but I use this opportunity to remind everybody that you never melt yellow snow. So the Coast Guard rescued these two hands. It was probably a hillside rescue, and they are also, I use this opportunity to point out that the Navy is offering very large bonuses for people who will ship over, who will re-enlist. A bonus as high as $24,000 for their own rescue swimmers, and so far as I know, we're not offering any bonuses for rescue swimmers in the Coast Guard to ship over, and this is because we do not seem to be having any problem with our re-enlistment program. And bonuses for reenlistments are offered for those rates and ratings that are in short supply. And we have people who go to rescue swimmer school, also called the aviation survivalman A school. We do not have any shortage, so far as I'm aware, of people to apply for A school to become rescue swimmers, and so as a result, we're not offering any bonuses. Those people, once they qualify, get flight pay, and if there is any hazardous duty pay connected with that besides flight pay, they probably qualify for that. The point that I make here is that we do not have any shortage of applicants for rescue swimmer A school. But we do. It's a very, very difficult school. You can go back to Kevin Costner's film, The Guardian, which talks about and shows how those people are trained. And you also can find some information on it with Old Faithful YouTube. So there is a young Coast Guardsman who I worked with here on the island who was wondering what he should be doing with his life. And we talked about the Coast Guard. He went into the Coast Guard and then he went to Rescue Swimmer School. And now he is one of those people that jumps out of our helicopters so that others may live. Less than 5% in the Coast Guard and 5% in the Marine Corps remain unvaccinated, and I remain gobsmacked and mystified as to why those numbers are not zero in both services. It just seems to me to be a very simple thing to say this is something you're going to do, and you line them up just like we did for Primaquine for malaria in Vietnam. The Master at Arms keeps a list of everybody on ship's company, and you line them up, and they take the shot, and that's the end of that. The Coast Guard cutter Clarence Sulfin. We have been naming these fast response cutters we've been naming them for Coast Guard people who have distinguished themselves, in particular in the search and rescue business. And there are six of them that have now been completed with Bollinger down in the Gulf Coast and are assigned to a special squadron in the Middle East, home ported in Bahrain. They're 154 feet long, and the answer to the question that one of my people put was whether or not they were carried over as deck cargo on a very large ship or whether or not they were sailed. There is a merciful God in his heaven, and some commander who has the authority to do it has said these ships sail. They do sail in company, and they do sail with another ship who functions as their tanker because they're not. Their tankage is such that they're not able to make the trip with one drink of fuel without running really close on the on their reserves. So they have a ship that goes with them. In one case, it was one of the 270s, which I've seen a photograph of one of the 270s, Tahoma, I think it was, with a helicopter on her deck, and also acting as the tanker for the ones that are going to or have already been sent to Bahrain in the Middle East. The 23rd of January is an anniversary. 23rd of January, 1968, the national humiliation of the capture of the USS Pueblo took place. I just learned today, reading an article about it, thanks to one of Captain Joe's people on the Coast Guard Channel, Joe, who sent a piece about it, that she's still in commission. And she is the second oldest Navy ship in commission after the USS Constitution. As a parenthetical insertion, I see that the Constitution has just been assigned her first woman commanding officer. She remains in commission and she is, of course, the oldest ship. She goes back to the Constitution Constellation class in the late 1700s, and she is the oldest one, of course, in commission, and right after her is the USS Pueblo, which is still carried on the ship on the list, on the Naval Register of list of ships in active commission. She is, however, still in North Korea, and she is being used as part of a museum in North Korea. And were I the commander-in-chief, and were I the chief of naval operations, I would be trying to figure out a way how we can get her back without actually going to war. There's got to be a way to do it. There's a way to do everything. There's got to be a way to get her back. And but her story is not a happy one. She was, according to U.S. Records, she was operating in international waters. What I don't understand is why she was operating completely alone and without any kind of cover or backup. She was an intelligence collection ship, and before she was captured by the North Korea on the 23rd of January, 1968, they were not able to destroy all of her highly classified equipment. And one sailor was killed. Her captain and the rest of her crew were all captured and were treated very badly for the almost year that the North Koreans had her crew. I'd like to see if there was some way that we couldn't get her back with honor, only with honor. And she was a very interesting little ship. She was, in fact, originally, she was launched in 1945, and she was originally one of those small freighters that we had all over the South Pacific during World War II. Many of those were manned by Coast Guard crews and were used to haul freight all over the Pacific as we moved to the west and captured islands, that had to be resupplied. And there were a number of these little ships that were built. And if you go on to YouTube and find the movie called Mr. Roberts with Henry Fonda as Mr. Roberts, it is a wonderful, wonderful film. And the ship that was used to for the ship that was in Mr. Roberts was one of those small freighters. Pueblo was one of them and was reconfigured to be an intelligence collection ship. And she was operating all by herself with no cover very close aboard that could have saved her. So I take note of that she is still in North Korea. She is still not back with us, and were I the Chief of Naval Operations, I'd be figuring out a way how to get her back with honor. The Crystal Symphony was to be seized by a U.S. Marshal for unpaid fuel bills, and her owners sent her to the Bahamas so as to avoid being seized by U.S. Marshals. And then just today or yesterday, her company chief executive officer resigned. She belongs to a Hong Kong company. And if you have tickets on any of the Crystal Line ships, I would urge you to get your money back while you can, because the U.S. government is going to seize as soon as they are available, as soon as they are where we can get our hands on them. They're going to seize at least Crystal Symphony. The light list for 2022 is available now at Captain's Nautical Supply, which is over in Ballard. You can also order from Captain's Nautical Supply online. And here's a piece of interesting nautical arcana for you. The light list lists all of the lights. It's in several volumes. It lists all of the lights and other marine aids to navigation in the United States. If you want the list of lights in other parts of the world, you go to a publication that is called not the light list, but is called the list of lights, and is published not by the Coast Guard, but by an agency called the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, which is headquartered in Springfield, Virginia. This is a federal agency which is not part of the Coast Guard, and the Coast Guard is not part of it. So if you want light list, you buy that from Captain's Nautical Supply for the United States. if you want the lights in the rest of the world, you probably can also buy it from Captain's Nautical Supply, but it is called the List of Lights, and it's published by the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. A little bit of nautical complication, and one which I had to dredge deep into my memory of navigation classes at the Coast Guard Academy so many years ago. And happy am I to report that my memory is still good. Light List, U.S. Lights, List of Lights, all over the rest of the world, with the exception of Florida on the East Coast, which is also in the List of Lights in that particular volume. Voting, we have a special election coming up on the first Tuesday in February. Here on the magical Isle of Vashon, it is to vote for the... It is to vote for the school district for the reissue of a levy to augment what comes from the state for the Vashon School District. And I urge everyone to find their ballot, which has certainly fallen down behind the radiator, and get it out, fill it out, and send it in. Whichever way you decide to vote, of course, is up to you. And then there is another election here in King County about which you cannot vote on the ballot. You have to go to online and vote for the King Conservation District. And I got a special flyer about that. That one is a real anomaly, and I don't understand why they were not able to get themselves onto the official ballot, but they did not. And so in order to vote for the Board of Directors for the King Conservation District, you must go online, and you can do that by typing in to any search engine the King Conservation District, and you'll find the ballot for that. The book for this week is The Coast Guard at War, Vietnam, 1965-1975, written by Captain Alex Larzelier. I bring that up now because we're almost up to the anniversary of the 1968 Tet, which came in February of 1968, and for which your Captain Joe was, I think we were just about ready to in-chop for just before that happened. And Captain Larzelier is several years junior to me at the Academy, but he has written the definitive book on that subject. And he also is a graduate of my high school, which is St. John's College High School in Washington, D.C. And we are now come to the end of our time together all too quickly yet once again. And so for all of Captain Joe's people, take care of those for whom you are responsible. We meet here yet once again in just a week's time. And this is your Captain Joe from the captain's chair on station and watching properly.